The Worthing Podcast with Patrick Woodward.
Hello and welcome to The Worthing Podcast, which this month, as you may expect, has a bit of a festive theme.
Once upon a time in a land far, far away.
A curse on your precious daughter. Just one prick from a thorn and she will die.
We with brother wake up and we open our kitchen, and usually normally it was snow, a lot of snow on Christmas Day.
Then the following Sunday we have kids parties that will happen in the rest of the space, and in the main auditorium we'll have carols and a Christmas message, all linked around this kind of drawing themes out of Narnia.
So yes, we'll be talking to a Ukrainian mum who's come to Worthing to seek refuge from her war-torn nation. What's Christmas like for her this year? We'll find out about an organisation founded in Littlehampton, now here in Worthing, which gives men a chance to talk as they walk, maybe airing some of the stresses of the festive season. And we'll try and figure out the real meaning of Christmas with the church which has set up shop in Worthing's least popular shopping centre. Then finally, I'll mention a few things worth going to this Christmas. So first off, I met with Alan Savage, who you'll find every other Saturday walking along the prom here in Worthing, with hopefully some other men walking with him. It's Men Walk Talk, helping men to open up about their issues in a friendly environment. He told me more.
The idea of Men Walk Talk is it's a chance for men to meet up, go for a walk together and really talk about whatever's on their mind. Essentially, you know, it's set up to support men's mental health. And with the ultimate aim of trying to help men who may be feeling sort of desperate and suicidal. They may be suffering with, say, mental health challenges such as anxiety and depression. They may want to get together with just another group of chaps to go for a walk, because sometimes, you know, if you're not into football or sports and things like that, apart from going to the pub, you sort of think, well, where can I go to go meet a group of chaps and have a chat?
Yeah. I mean, they say, and I can identify with this, and you could, perhaps can as well, that men don't find it easy to talk.
No, they don't. And for some reason, you know, we like to think a lot. We like to be the providers. We're the ones in charge. We don't need help. And who knows where that comes from? Different places for all sorts of different people. You know, I come from a generation where perhaps, you know, we were told, you know, big boys don't cry.
Yeah.
Or actually, what you need to do is to just man up and get through it, and we all have tough
pull yourself times. Together.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So where did this idea come from? Who started? I believe it was started quite locally.
Yes, it was started very locally. So the charity kicked off early in 2020, so in Littlehampton, and its founder and chief executive is a chap called Matt Pollard. He was then in his mid-20s, and he had faced his own set of, if you like, difficulties and challenges in life in growing up. And one of the things he really found there was benefit in was getting outside into nature and going for a walk and talking about what was on his mind, so that he could at least feel he'd shared and could gain some different ideas and perspectives. So, yes, the charity started with one walk in Littlehampton then, and that walk still runs today. And we're currently at around about 19 various walks. We have some in the Midlands. We've got a strong group there around sort of Nottinghamshire. But mainly we are based around sort of the south and London, so south coast of London.
And you look after the Worthing end of things, which is a walk along the prom, I believe.
Yes, it is. It's a walk along the prom. We do that every fortnight. So we meet at 11 a.m. on a Saturday, and there'll be one on the 23rd of December, just before Christmas. And we meet and we walk for about an hour and a half. And we use the promenade between sort of Worthing Lido and the Goring Greensward. And we have some weeks there could be two if it's pouring down with rain, or I may have 10 or 11 people come along, and people can either sign up or just turn up on the day. The idea is that, you know, if there is sort of more than three of us, we will walk in twos or threes, because that's much more, if you like, amenable to a conversation happening between three people, two or three people. And, you know, I think the important thing as well is that if you can share sometimes just your own challenges that have happened, because, you know, they're part of you. They make up who you are. Usually people have taken some steps to try and address what's going on for them. And they can talk about, you know, sharing ideas. I mean, I have seen some great, you know, some good friendships develop from amongst the groups. In the Brighton group that I was leading once, it turned out there was a couple of chaps who were both learning to play the guitar. So they met up outside of the walk times to do that. So it provides the social connection as well for the guys.
So Christmas time then, for many people, a very happy, enjoyable, festive, joyous occasion, but not for everybody.
No, not at all. And, you know, I think we all like to think, oh, yes, it's a happy, joyous time. That, and hopefully we've all got memories of Christmases like that with families, friends and things. But life changes, doesn't it? And, you know, we experience, you know, perhaps bereavements on there, perhaps pressures around finances, pressures around jobs, all those sorts of different things. So it's not particularly sometimes a happy time, because, you know, I think we can all easily do this, and I call it a bit of compare and despair, you know. So if we think about the best Christmases we've ever had, and then we think what's happening now, and all those two don't match up, so therefore we can go into a very sort of quick downward spiral of conversation within ourselves, sort of talking ourselves down. So, no, it's not always a happy time for people. And it's, again, important, I think, to recognise that, because, again, perhaps it's easier in the short term to try and put a lid on it and just shut those feelings away. But inevitably, that lid will blow sometime.
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody then? It's Christmas time, they're feeling low, they're hearing about, maybe they're listening to this interview, they've heard about Men Walk Talk. What would you say to them?
Do you know, if you are on your own, or, you know, you're facing a period of time over the Christmas break alone, it's a long time, because that Christmas break lasts over 10 days now. Yeah. So, you know, we do have some walks locally. As I said a little earlier, in Worthing, we're walking on the 23rd of December. In Littlehampton, they'll be walking on the same day on the 23rd of December. There's another group there. And also there will be a walk on Boxing Day at 10:30, starting in Musebrook Park in Littlehampton. To give that opportunity of, you know, you're past the big day, maybe you just want to clear your head. Maybe you just want to do something different, get out for a bit of energy, you know, sort of walking and exercise ahead of Boxing Day coming ahead too.
Well, I can see what a brilliant idea it is. I trust it goes well and you get plenty of attendance over the Christmas period. And I wish you a very happy Christmas.
Thank you, Patrick.
Alan Savage, thank you very much indeed. That's Alan Savage. And as he says, the next walk in Worthing is on the 23rd of December. Find out more at menwalktalk.co.uk. Now, imagine you're hundreds of miles from home at Christmas, away from friends and loved ones, and you don't even know if those loved ones are okay. Well, that's how it is for members of the Worthing Ukrainian Friends Network. It's made up of people from Ukraine who've made Worthing their home because of all that's going on in their own country. I met up with them at a pub in Warwick Street where they meet each week. First, I spoke to Alicia, who's been in the UK for 18 months. She told me how she struggled at the start.
First maybe 2 months, I find it too difficult and I cry every day. I research news every day. But now I think that I'm much better. I become more self-confidence in this case because my English improved, and I met a lot of friends here, a lot of English people who helped me a lot of, and I find it's nice. I'm really very grateful.
So when you look back on life in Ukraine, are there things that you miss?
Yeah. First of all, it's my relative, because my mom and my brother stay there. Basically, I'm from south part of Ukraine, which is Kherson region, and this territory was occupied from the first day of Russian invasion, and it's still occupied until now.
Are you able to keep in touch with your family?
Unfortunately,
out there?
Not, because. Russian troops blocked all connection. Of course, I miss about people, about my friends, even my pet still here, there. And also, I sometimes miss our tradition and culture. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's very important for me. I used to be a teacher in Ukraine, and I teach children to keep our tradition, to provide it in our life, and to give it another generation.
Tell me about Christmas in Ukraine. What form does it take?
Before Christmas, we celebrate Christmas Eve, which is used to be 6th of January, but since this year it will be 24th of December.
Because they have changed in Ukraine, they have changed the date of Christmas. You used to celebrate it in the new year, in January, but now you're celebrating at the same time as the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the Christmas Eve, people traditionally cook 12 dishes. It's because our God, Jesus Christ, has had 12 pupils. Mm-hmm. Normally, 7th of January, people go to the church in a church service first, and then they are gathering together, big family. If some family live in another part of world or Ukraine, they are gathering together. It's very important.
So when we come to Christmas, which is coming very soon, what kind of thoughts will go through your mind, thinking perhaps of home?
In my mind, I remember my childhood. It's very kind and very sweet and bright memory. It was the time when I was child, when there wasn't any problem, you know, all because my parents care about me. It was my dad who is not alive anymore. We with brother wake up and we open our cushion, and usually normally it was snow, a lot of snow on Christmas Day, and my mom wake us up and say, kids, are you ready to go to your granny? Midday after afternoon, children comes and singing the carols, Christmas carols. It was amazing.
That's Alicia, remembering happier times at Christmas in Ukraine. The Ukraine Friends Network was started by retired businessman Mike Tyler, who explained it came out of his own family experience.
When my daughter went to Holland, or our daughter went to Holland to live with a Dutch husband, she felt very isolated and lonely and couldn't seem to meet any people speaking enough English, so her social life sort of went to zilch. So she made the effort then to make friends, but it took a long time. So when Ukrainian ladies started arriving here with their children, getting away from all the conflict in Ukraine, we felt it was helpful maybe for them to meet each other. So we started inviting them to meet up together at the Lido on the seafront. And just one or two came, and then it sort of grew and grew until we now have contact with all 144 Ukrainians, actually with hosts in Worthing now. So they're lovely people, amazingly talented. Most of them have lost their careers, which is tragic. And they're finding work, but having to take work well below their potential. So we're trying to help them both socially and find better employment if we can. Obviously, the council are helping as much as they can, but we provide more of the social element. Mm.
Yeah. How difficult has it been to set this thing up and get it to where it is now?
Well, because these women are so amazing and they're very good socially, starting something, it gets around with their social media, and others get involved. I mean, here we are this morning meeting, and there's, I don't know, half a dozen, six folk, I suppose, in. And we just chat together, and it gives them a bit of encouragement. If they've got problems, we'll try to help a little. But in general, they manage themselves very, very well, and they're getting increasingly self-sufficient.
Mike Tyler. So now let's run through a few events you can go to in Worthing over the next few weeks. First off, why not take in a panto? Sleeping Beauty is on at the Pavilion Theatre until the 1st of January.
Once upon a time in a land far, far away.
A curse on your precious daughter. Just one prick from a thorn and she will die.
Was there?
It was there!
Yes, all the fun of Panto, starring Michael Auger from Calabro as Michael, the royal gardener, and also Worthing's own Ross Muir as Queen Dorothea. Ross is also co-founder of the Con Artists Theatre Company and can be found in quite different roles in the Rainbow Shakespeare at Highdown Gardens in the summer. Sleeping Beauty runs till the 1st of January, so go online and book your tickets for a great fun evening. And there's a few other events taking place as well. There's a Christmas market at the Swallow's Return, Titnor Lane. That's on Wednesday the 13th of December from 6 to 9pm. And that's in aid of St Barnabas. There'll be jewellery, children's crafts, fabric and handmade crafts. Then there's a carol concert at Lancing College Chapel in aid of care for veterans. That's on Sunday the 17th of December from 2 o'clock to 3pm. Careforveterans.org.uk has all the details. And there's plenty of carol services at your local church too. Talking of churches and Christmas, one particular church has done something really quite unusual in Worthing by taking over the top floor of the Gilbourne Centre, which has been widely seen as a bit of a white elephant, a broken place. They've got some interesting plans for Christmas, as we'll find out. But first, I met up with the leader, Joel Tostevin, who told me they've been around as a church for 30 years. Over lockdown, they set up in the Gilbourne Centre and adopted a new name, Redeemer. Joel explained what the name means.
As a redeemer, like this, God is our ultimate redeemer, the one who fixes broken things and makes straight what has been broken. We kind of want to see that in the Gilbourne Centre as we come and bring the presence of God here. Our prayer is that the flats above will be blessed by us being here, that the businesses below will be blessed by us being here, and that we'll see and that redemption will come, and then that will kind of flow out from here and into the town.
But of course, you're not just doing a church here, are you? Redeemer, this place is a bit more than a church, because you've got rooms as well. Can you tell me about rooms?
Yeah, so the whole place is Redeemer. So again, it's been a journey of us trying to communicate this to various different people, like the church and then a bit wider. So when people come up and they say, oh, we'd like to see the church, I was like, oh, well, actually this whole place, well, obviously first and foremost the church isn't a building, it's the people, but the whole place is owned by the church and being used by the church, including rooms. So we run various different things. We run Worthing Food Bank here. We're doing English classes for people with low levels of English. We have got, and we've got various other church things happening here. We've run some Alpha courses up here, and we have different groups happening in the week. But one of the things we wanted to do to make the most of the space that we felt was the right thing to do is run a business up here called Rooms. And so we hire the space out in the week for charities and businesses to use, for co-workers come up and use the space. And we've had conferences that happen over in our auditorium that on a Sunday we use for our main meetings. And the purpose of that is not primarily to make money to help us pay for the rent and the lease and all those things. But it's because we wanted to run a godly business that people would feel welcomed and blessed as they came in. That would also bring people into our space. It would kind of break down that barrier. Some people find it difficult to walk into a church building on a Sunday morning. So our prayer is that as people come and engage with us in different ways in the week, whether it's food bank, whether it's hiring rooms, they'll kind of get the feeling, actually, this is a nice place to be. This is a place we want to be. And so coming to a church, a more overtly church thing will feel like less of an intimidating step for people.
What are your plans for Christmas? Are you doing anything special?
We have just started a Christmas in Narnia series.
Narnia, okay.
So there's Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. We're doing a reading plan, which you can see on our website. And we've been giving out little booklets for young and old to go through. It wasn't my idea, but I've really bought into it when we started talking about it. Is Narnia, if you know Narnia, then you read, there's quite a lot of biblical themes that run through it, the narrative that goes through. And so we're just trying to use that just to do something a little bit different. So we're doing this reading plan. For me personally, I've really enjoyed it. I've not read it in a long time. And so it's been really fun reading it with my kids.
And if people come here to a service over the Christmas period, what will they get? Will they get carols and that kind of thing?
Yes.
Traditional kind of feel?
Yes. So the Sunday just gone, we started this Christmas in Narnia series. And then this coming Sunday, we've got a family Sunday. So it's all age worship. Mm-hmm. So from the youngest to the oldest, so it'll be a little bit noisier. And we'll have carols. We'll have a short talk. And then we've got lovely hot chocolates and stuff to have after the meeting.
Amazing.
And then, yeah, then the following Sunday we have kids' parties that will happen in the rest of the space, and then the main auditorium will have carols and a Christmas message, all linked around this kind of drawing themes out of Narnia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are the traditional things about Christmas that, you know, a lot of people are familiar with, carols and that sort of thing, and mince pies and the rest of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's got to be more to Christmas than that, I would think you would say. Why is Christmas important?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it's easy to get into a... just a set expectation or a rut of
happens every year.
Yeah, of what happens every year. And so for us, kind of one of the things we're drawing out of the Christmas in Narnia series is this theme that, or in it, they say that it's all in Narnia, forgive me if you don't know this story if you're listening, but if Narnia is always winter but never Christmas, because the White Witch has cast this spell over Narnia. And then there's this, as you read the story without giving away any spoilers, there's these whispers of this lion coming called Aslan. And it's like there's light in the darkness, there's hope for a hopeless world. And in the Christmas story, we hear about this light coming into the darkness, this hope coming for the hopeless. And so that's why we, you know, whether or not Jesus was born on the 25th of December, it's kind of point, but in the season we get in this, where is winter, where is dark, where the nights draw in, we get to, yeah, look to this hope that we believe was born, this baby that was born 2,000 years ago.
Okay. So what would you say to somebody who's perhaps never been to church, mm-hmm. has heard about Redeemer, wanders through the Gilborn Centre, looks up, wonders what's going on, mm-hmm. it's Christmas time, what would mm-hmm. you say to them?
We would love to welcome you. We really believe church is a family, we're a family together, and we love having guests, we love having people come and join and see what it's like to be part of a church family, that it's not... you know, all deadly serious and joyless, but we're a family that loves to be together. We're a family that loves to welcome people amongst us, and we would love to see you.
Well, there's an invitation for you. My thanks to Joel Tostevin from Redeemer. But don't forget, as I said earlier, there's plenty of other church services available in the Worthing area this Christmas. So that's it for Christmas with the Worthing Podcast. Lots of interesting stuff planned for the new year, so please subscribe. We're on all the main podcast platforms and, of course, Facebook. And I'll see you in January. In the meantime, whatever you're doing, from me, Patrick Woodward, have a very happy Christmas.
The Worthing Podcast with Patrick Woodward.